In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Father Martin. We're going to look at the 24th chapter of St. Luke. But on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared to anoint the body of Jesus, you know. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. You see, women at this time were not witnesses in the courts. So the apostles think that the women are crazy. But I tell you, God appeared first to women. The good news was first given to women. And you know, mostly under the cross, there were women. Women who had been set free, Mary Magdalene, set free from seven demons, perfectly possessed. The resurrection has to do with freedom. That God wants to give me and you real freedom.
It's amazing, the scripture that the women, they prepare the spices, the and you know, it sounds normal, it sounds perfectly in accordance to the religion and the habit of the days when they lived, that they prepared the burial spices, but they didn't know what's going to happen to the tomb. They didn't know who is going to move the stone. And it was like prophetic gesture. I believe it's really prophetic that they ran to the tomb at the daybreak, knowing that the stone is no more there. And I believe they were free from this fear. They were really free from any anguish. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen with the stone? Where's the entrance? And I believe, you know, sometimes we have to run like this in a prophetic way. In a prophetic way, we start running even we don't know what's going to happen next. And they, the women, they were so anointed with the Holy Spirit. They knew that they're going to go to the body of Christ. They're going to touch Jesus. Even they didn't realize how difficult it will be. And I believe it's just, you know, sometime in our lives, the same way we have to make a step in faith. We have to run in faith to the Jesus heart. Even we don't know how many obstacles we're going to have. And let me give you an example. Sometime we we start praying for people, and you know, it's better don't ask about the sickness, because if you ask people, you know, what's wrong with you, sometimes you lose your faith, sometimes you think, you know, it's impossible, you know, that's too hard, it's fourth stage cancer, it's too late. But sometimes you don't ask, you just pray, you just believe, you just go in hope, you just go in faith, and you run to the heart of Jesus, don't knowing who is gonna open the place for you, who is gonna open the door for you, because you believe and you know that it's gonna happen. And there's many miracles that happened this way. We started praying for people last year. Was December the 8th. It was the hour of Immaculate Conception, the grace hour of grace, it's called. So we gathered in our little chapel in our parish. It was just few people there because we said we're gonna open the doors, and whoever wants to come, we're gonna pray. There were two men there who were praying for their wives. It's interesting. They both were praying for their wives, and they both were in the hospitals. One was almost gone. She was dying with the liver problem, and. So I said, let's pray. That's the hour of the Blessed Mother. We have to not just ask for a miracle. We're going to declare it, because that's what she promised. That's not what we're going to ask for. She said, in the hour of grace, at the 8th of December, your prayers will be fulfilled. So we're going to just declare the miracle, not pray for it. You know, that's what we did. We step in faith. And we say we're going to run to the tomb. Even we don't know what's going to happen next. We're going to prepare ourselves to receive the blessing today. And that's what happened. You know, in the next day, the lady was out of coma. And in a few days, they called me. They said, Father, that's impossible. Absolutely impossible. This woman, she got a new liver. She wasn't even on the list for the transplant. Now she got a new liver and she's home, and she's gonna come to directory. She said, I'm gonna come and see you, because that's what happened with me. It's absolutely impossible. It was absolutely impossible. The doctor said it's impossible. So that's what happens when you run like those women, and you don't know who's gonna open the tomb, what's gonna happen, but you go in faith. You go in faith because you believe.
I remember when somebody came to me, it was on a Sunday evening, and thank God I didn't ask him what was wrong with him, because he needed a new brain. The brain was coming through his ear. I just prayed a simple little prayer. There was also a missing bone in his head, and so that he was going to have an operation, maybe 12 hours the operation would take. When he went to have the operation, the bone appeared. The doctors didn't have any idea. Are you kidding? We knew all the records showed that he had no bone there. And the brain was healed. And thank God I didn't ask him what was wrong, because I would have said, oh my gosh, this is too big for me. This is too big for me. We don't want to center upon the sickness. We want to center upon the declaration of God, that I declare in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, that Jean and Anna and Rita are completely healed of cancer now by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. I tell you, it's so important to declare. You know how Moses opened the Red Sea? He declared that it opened. And when he declared it with his mouth, the Red Sea opened up. I tell you, we need to declare healings. I don't pray for healing anymore. I declare that God is healing the person now. Somebody came to me just today with cancer. And I declared in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, that she be healed now I'm telling you, I remember one priest saying to me, you don't have the right to do that. I said, I have the right. Jesus gave me the right. He says, how do you know they're healed? I'm only telling you what Jesus told me to do. And he told me to declare healing, not pray for healing, but to declare healing.
When Moses declared that the sea will be opened, I believe that the Israelites were in a deep water. They were in the deep water. They were not on the shore. They were right in the water, and they saw the miracle because they believed it's going to happen. So they moved in faith. So get ready for a breakthrough today. Get ready for a miracle today. Don't think it's too late. Don't think it's too much. Don't think it's too difficult, because there's nothing impossible for God. That's what Mary Magdalene believed in her heart when she was going to the tomb. She knew that nothing is impossible, because she saw already the miracle in her own life. She already experienced this amazing freedom of God in her heart. So she believed, and she moved in faith. Even the apostles were all, home, terrified, and thinking what's going to happen to them now, what will happen to their lives now. They left everything behind. What's going to happen next? Everything is finished. But Mary Magdalene, she moved in faith. Not only moved, she was running. She was running. She was going to Jesus' body, because she knew, I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch him again. He's not gone. He's here. You know, and somebody asked me to say a little bit about my experience of the breakthrough today. And what comes to me, it's what we are going to do right now in Poland. We're gonna build the spiritual hospital, I call it, like spiritual place for people who are broken and needy, people who are really need to spend time in the community life, who need to go through the process of deliverance. They need the process of healing, inner healing and physical healing, and they should spend some time with us. So we're going to build a house. Guess what? We have no money for this place. We have just $100,000 right now. The cost of the building will be $1.6 million. So that's what God called us to do. And today, if somebody asks me, do you believe it's going to happen? I'm telling you, we're going to start building this year. We're not waiting. We are not going to wait for money. We're not going to wait, till someone comes and says, maybe you should wait, or you should do something else. No, if God said, do it, we're going to do it. We're going to move in faith, even if we have nothing. Because that's what happened to Mary Magdalene. That's what happened to Israelites at the Red Sea. They moved in faith. They went to the water. They went to the stone, and they saw the miracle when they came. So that's what's going to happen to us too. I declare it today. It's not just in my mind. It's not just my imagination. It's not our goodwill. It's the promise of the Lord. That's what keeps us running. That's what keeps us believing, the promise and the word of God who spoke to us. It was a couple of years ago. He said, I want this place to be a place of healing. I want your parish to be a place of deliverance. So we're going to pray unbound prayer. We're going to pray with people. We're going to spend time with them. We're going to have a deliverance and healing program in our house. So whoever needs will come. And I tell you, we all need it. We all in need of freedom. We all in need of grace. That's why God is, I believe he's calling us to do it.
People ask me, what is the proof of the resurrection? And everyone says the empty tomb. Yes, but I know more than the empty tomb. The changed life. That is the proof of the resurrection also. That a man or a woman becomes a new creation like Mary Magdalene. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. behold, the new has come. That's Paul saying that because he experienced becoming a new creation. He was persecuting Christians, killing them, sending them to jail. But it was the presence of God that came upon him in that Shekinah glory that changed his life, that gave him freedom. He says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. For freedom's sake, I want you to know today that Jesus wants to set you free. For freedom's sake, anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's all about freedom. It's not about being tormented. Anyone in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you are experiencing condemnation, it is not of the Lord. It is of the law, and the law has been abrogated by the blood of Jesus.
There is freedom for us. There's freedom, you know, to worship Him, to praise Him. It's a freedom to adore Him and meditate on His Word. We have freedom to follow Him with joy and thanksgiving. And I believe that's what God is giving us tonight. That's what He's giving us today. He's not waiting any longer. He wants to give us the fullness of joy, the fullness of freedom. He wants to keep us really in His arms. You know, and Pharisees, they would say, you know, we are always free. We're always free. You know, we are sons of Abraham. But Jesus said, you know, unless you come to me, you are not free. Unless you come and confess your sins, you are not free. Unless you come and lay down your life before me, you are not free. That's why, you know, we experience this freedom in Jesus. We need Him. We need Him so bad that we come every day to the altar. We come every day to the Eucharist to ask for freedom. At the beginning of the Eucharist, we always say, Lord, set us free. Set us free. It repeats every day. It's not over. It's never over. He wants us to be free every single day. Last weekend we had a gathering in our community and we heard a lot of testimonies and beautiful stories of people who were healed the last time, because you know, sometimes when you are in a community life, you go really deep in people's experiences and they share very difficult things. And I remember this religious priest who was sharing his struggle and his pain, his story of his bondage and his spiritual slavery, and he talked about his sexuality, and it was very, very difficult for him. He was talking about homosexuality, and he told a story how Jesus touched his heart, how He set him free from this horrible pain, from the loneliness and this experience of brokenness he lived all his life. And you know, he's a priest. You can say, you know, he's always in God's presence. I'm telling you, we all need Jesus. There is no one who can say, I'm fine. There's no one that can say, you know, I'm all sad because I celebrate Eucharist, because I pray every day, because I know the Word of God. You know what? We still need mercy. That's why we come to Jesus, because we need freedom. We need freedom every day. Freedom from fear. Freedom from this spiritual warfare in our heads. You know, that's what keeps us really far from confidence and from faith. The battle in our heads. God is coming to set us free today. And I believe the freedom of God is here. So just, you know, you can tell Him, Lord, you know, you can name the place you want to be free today. Name the place, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe in sexual life. You need freedom. So tell the Lord, I need your healing. I need deliverance here. Don't be ashamed. You know what? We all needy. We all poor. We don't have anybody but Him. So you just tell Him, Lord, come with your kindness. St. Paul said in Romans chapter 2 that God, Jesus Christ, He's changing us by kindness. By His kindness, He's not gonna scream on you. He's not gonna be violent with you. He's gonna be kind today, and He's very merciful today. So just tell Him where you need this freedom in your life. Where do you need this touch from heaven today? Tell Him, you know, all about your brokenness. Maybe you feel like a failure today. You know, God is telling you, you are my son. He's telling you, you are my daughter. There is no such a thing like a failure for God, because you are precious. You are so precious in His eyes, and He loves you with everlasting love.
You know, we hear lots of things in our mind, but I tell you, if the things that we hear in our mind does not give us peace, you can flush them down the toilet, because they're not of God. It is not of God to torment people. It is not of God to seriously make us feel guilt that we don't know how to take the next step. I tell you, we need God's freedom that Jesus alone can give us. And how does He give it to us? From the cross and from the empty tomb. He wants to free you. For those who are in Christ Jesus is a new creation. You have passed from death to life by the grace of the living God. I remember somebody coming to me. I was at the Trappist monastery in St. Joseph's, it's called, and she said, the monk sent me to you that you would pray for me. I'm thinking, this monk prays 12 hours a day and he's sending her to me, and what do I have to give her? But anyway, I asked her some questions. The first question I asked is, how many children did your mother have? She said, 24. I said, wow. I knew this was the area. I said, where were you? She says, I was the last. I said, what makes you tortured? What tortures you? She said, my mother was in the hospital, and she wasn't very sick. It was just something minor. And I said to her, on a Friday, I'll see you tomorrow, I'm going home. And when I went home, she died. And she carried this torment in her life forever. So I said, okay, we're going to do something. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is everywhere? She said, yes. I said, we're going to believe that we're going to see Jesus in the room with your mother. When you left, you peek in the room and say, Jesus took her in His arms, and she died in the arms of Jesus. And there was like this black cloud that was completely gone, and the power of God, like light, fled through her body. And she said, what am I feeling now? I said, it's Jesus setting you free. And you know, I met her many years later, and she said, that day I was set free. How? She was set free from the torment, from the guilt, because you know what? She thought that if she had stayed with her mother would not have died, or her mother would have died with somebody in her family. But you see, Jesus was there, and He's enough. Jesus is enough. Do you know that today?
Jesus is enough. You know, I met this child. She's 13, the girl. She came to us, and we went together for the camp of the kids, and she was there. And on the way to the in the mountains, she told me her story. She said, you know, it's so pathetic, but I'm ashamed to say that, but my mother usually called me the pancake. I said, what that means, you are pancake? She said, because you know, the first one doesn't go right. The first one, it's always not good enough. You have to throw it out. And she said, my mother usually said that to me, you were like the first pancake. And I said, you know what, we're going to pray against this word, because that's not what God told you. He's in love with you. He sees you in different way. You don't have to think about yourself, that you are not good enough. You know, this child, this girl, she tried to commit a suicide because she heard this word all over the time in her house. It looks like it's absolutely crazy, but the simple word from the mother's mouth can kill the baby, you know, can kill the child. And I believe that we need to pray against this, and we have to really believe that God is giving us the new name today, the new name. You are not the last one. You are not the useless one. You are the treasure in His hands. You are the child of God. He loves you with powerful and beautiful love.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God says to you today, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are my beloved. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.